From NPR News, this is All Things Considered. I'm Robert Siegel. The National Hockey League season begins tomorrow, and it begins in Europe. The Pittsburgh Penguins and Ottawa Senators will play two games over the weekend in Stockholm, and the New York Rangers and Tampa Bay Lightning will face off in Prague. Sportswriter Stefan Fatsis joins us now to explain hockey's transatlantic efforts. And Stefan, should we expect big crowds of Swedish and Czech hockey fans?
Absolutely. More than 14,000 fans at the Globe Arena in Stockholm, which, thanks to Wikipedia, I just learned is the world's largest spherical building and the sun in Sweden's scale model of the solar system. So there you go. Mm-hmm. And 18,000 fans are expected at the O2 Arena in Prague. This caps a week in which these four teams played exhibitions around Europe, Switzerland, Finland, Sweden, Slovakia, Germany. NHL Commissioner Gary Bettman said in Prague yesterday that this is part of a gradual build to a more permanent presence in Europe.
Now, football, baseball, and basketball have all tried to cultivate interest in Europe and also, in some cases, in Asia. Is Bettman actually talking about placing franchises in Europe, though?
You know, that is the long-term thought. 5 to 10 years, maybe, but it is the thought. Europe's going to need more American-style arenas. It's going to need to cultivate potential team owners and European TV networks. They've got to make sure that you've got the revenue streams because it is a very different sports culture in Europe. European fans are not used to U.S.-style ticket prices, $80 or $100 a pop over the course of long seasons. But I think it does make some sense for the NHL. 30% of NHL players come from outside of North America, and you have these areas of historic natural passion for hockey, more than in Nashville or Atlanta.
We've talked, though, in the past about how the National Hockey League overexpanded in the 1990s, is it reasonable for them to be talking about adding more teams?
I don't think they can just add more teams, but I do think that a dramatic step would be to admit that they made mistakes and shift the weakest franchises to Europe. You've got Prague, Stockholm, Moscow, Berlin, Helsinki, Zurich, or London. That sounds like a pretty good division to me, better than some of the weaker southern markets that you've got now. And the NHL has made some nice strides since the lockout that canceled the 2004-05 season. You've got new stars like Sidney Crosby of Pittsburgh. They've been playing an annual outdoor game. It's been great. This year, it's going to be the Detroit Red Wings and the Chicago Blackhawks playing on January 1st in Wrigley Field. And now if these trends continue and it makes business sense, I can see the NHL being the first to pull the trigger on going to Europe.
But one complicating factor could be competition from Russian hockey.
Or it could be a reason to go to Europe. There's a new league in Russia, the Continental Hockey League. It's signed several NHL free agents, including the great but aging Jaromir Jagr. And it's tried to lure other players who are under contract to NHL teams now. The league offered $12.5 million a year to the Russian player Evgeny Malkin of Pittsburgh, who finished second in the NHL in scoring last year. Malkin decided not to jump, but another Russian player from Nashville did, and that's triggered an international incident. The Russian league says the NHL has refused to recognize its contracts in the past, so they shouldn't have to. Meetings in Europe now are trying to resolve this conflict.
You know, hearing you talk about hockey and thinking about Paul Newman, who died last week, it occurs to me that Paul Newman made the great hockey movie, made Slapshot.
One of the great cult sports movies of all time. Newman played Reg Dunlop, a down-on-his-luck, leather-pants-wearing player coach for a renegade minor league hockey team. And now there is talk of remaking this movie. And, you know, remaking these kinds of movies seems like a good idea, at least to some people in Hollywood. But then you get a mildly tweaked, watered-down version of the original, like with The Longest Yard or The Bad News Bears. Slapshot was made in 1977. It was set in a dying steel town. It addressed issues of the time, a disastrous economy, women's liberation, a more reckless sports culture. You know, maybe the remake will prove me wrong, but I'd let Slapshot and Paul Newman rest in peace.
Maybe the economy will prove you wrong yet.
And that makes sense to remake it. You're right.
That's sports writer Stefan Fatsis, who talks with us on most Fridays about sports and also the business of sports. Thanks a lot, Stefan.
Thanks, Robert.